Hi, I'm Gregory Dickow, and thanks for joining me on today's podcast. If you're one of our regular listeners, thank you for your continued journey with me. My prayer is that each and every message touches your heart and helps you encounter the real Jesus and rise to your true worth and purpose. Now, we release new messages every single week available to everyone in the world for absolutely free. And the reason we can do that is because we have precious people who give generously and sacrificially each and every week. If you're a regular giver, I'm truly thankful for you. I can't thank you enough, in fact. And if you haven't taken that step yet, I want to invite you to join us today. Simply visit lifechangerschurch.com/give. That's lifechangerschurch.com/give to make a one-time gift, or even better yet, become a recurring giver here at Life Changers. Finally, I hope today's message truly encourages you, builds you up, and reveals to you how powerful you really are. Enjoy, and God bless. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. What a beautiful passage of scripture this is. For every house is built by someone. How many know that a house being built? Sorry, I'm just rearranging my stuff here. We're my happy, imperfect people. We're my hip people. You know what? I'm happy. I'm hip. I'm a happy, imperfect pastor. I wrote all these notes down and just didn't put them in order. But God knows what he's doing. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. The builder of all things is who?
God.
God is a builder. Everybody say, God is a builder.
God is a builder.
I want you to see something in Hebrews chapter 11. This chapter, this whole book is about God being a builder, building a covenant with his people and creating a people based on a blood covenant that they would be built into something and be built for something. You are both built into something and you are built for something. I don't know if you heard that, but you were both. We are all both built into something. God builds us into something, and God builds something from us.
Amen.
In Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, by faith, everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
Listen, faith is revealed in the steps we take. Faith isn't revealed in just sitting there. Faith is revealed in the steps we take. Jesus was met by 10 lepers and they said, have mercy on us, son of David. And Jesus said, turn around and go show yourselves to the priests. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. When were they cleansed? When Jesus said it? When Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. Is that when they were healed? Is that when they were cleansed? But the Bible says, and as they went, one translation says as they were going, but it literally, as they went, as they started moving, they were cleansed. Faith is revealed in the steps we take. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he left, not knowing where he was going. That's how we started this church. We just left. And we didn't know where we were going. He says, by faith, he lived as a stranger in the land of promise. You know, some of the things that you guys are experiencing in this church, because it's in its 30th year and the next generation of leaders is leading it. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Glory to God for that. And you want to know something about the next generation of leaders that are leading us? They want the wisdom of the elders. They're not the kind of young people that say, we know better. They're the kind of young people that say, we better know what they knew.
Not we know better, but we better know. We better learn from the elders so that we can be even better. Our shoulders are built for the next generation to stand upon so they can go higher. Mike, you and Dan, Mike Smagey, you and Dan, you've gone higher than your dad. And Rock, you're going higher than your dad. You guys are going higher. Come on, somebody's got to say amen. If I, by the way, if I call your name and you're not here, it's because I can't see anything. The lights are so bright. We started this church. We were strangers to abundance. We were broke. We were so broke. How broke were you? That's your part. We literally didn't have, you know how people have said, we were so broke we didn't have two nickels to rub. We didn't have the two nickels to rub, and we didn't even know where the next nickels were going to come from. But God. We were strangers to a successful church. We were strangers to a building like this. We were strangers to a city camp. We were strangers to being on TV. We were strangers to all those things. We left as strangers. But the next generation is no longer strangers. They're making an impact. They're taking what we were strangers. They have become familiar. Success has become familiar to them because we were strangers to it. We went out in faith and built something. And we went out in faith and took a step. And man, how many times did we stumble? How many times did we fall? How many times did I stumble? How many times did I fall? I can't count that high. How many trials we went through? I got them alphabetized in a file, you know, a filing cabinet. Anybody remember what one of those is? From A to Z, I got all thousands of troubles and trials. By faith, we went forward to a land we didn't know. By faith, he lived as a stranger in the land of promise, with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. You know, people would say, why don't you have like all the people at your house every Friday and Saturday night? I'm like, I don't like people on Friday and Saturday night. I like them on Sunday. Just, honestly, the reason is I felt God spoke to me to raise your children. Raise your children. I had to decide, am I going to be a pastor or travel and preach? And, you know, it's nothing about me. It's something about what God has revealed to me about his love and his goodness. And he's given me something for you. It's not for me. It's for people. Whatever gift I have is not for me. Every one of us has a gift. Your gift is not for you, it's for others. Every one of us has a calling. That calling is not about you, it's about others. Amen. But I heard God speak to me. Don't try to travel. I already had, you know, a down payment on a beautiful jet. I'd researched private travel, purchasing an airplane, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm all about that. I want people to be incredibly successful, but I had already put a down payment on an aircraft that I was going to buy so that I could travel and preach everywhere in the world. And God stopped me and said, no, don't travel the world right now. That time will come. Raise your children. Raise your children. I know I would have been leaving on a jet plane. Wouldn't know if I was coming back again. I would have been like a one-way flight. No round trip, man. I'm just telling you my story. It's just part of my story. Building a church is not anything I was acquainted with. I was a stranger to building. I didn't grow up. Growing up, I couldn't build a set of Legos. Even though the picture is like, it's so obvious. You can build, anybody can build this. Or the Legos, remember those? Remember? That still goes on today, I think. I haven't had a child in a long time, but they tell me those things are still around. I was a stranger to that. Thank God we had Diane Passion coming to our church from back in the day at our elementary school, and her husband was one of the greatest builders in America. And we started building the church. And you remember that, Diane. We started building the church, and and the guy that was building it, it wasn't Bud at the time, it was somebody else. And I just got mad at the guy because he was like hiding stuff and, you know, adding things later. And I'm like, you're fired. He said, I'm a builder. You don't know how to build. I said, God is the builder. You're fired. And I called Diane's husband, Bud Passion, from FH Passion. And I said, I just fired my builder. We need a new builder. He's building highways. He's built the airport, many parts of the airport and the I-90. And I'm like, I need you to build the church, 30,000 square feet. He said, all right. I said, well, before we go any further, how much is it going to cost?
More than you got,
he said. But God brought it all in to that old church. That old church on Route 59, we had that thing paid off in 3 years. Sold that building in 2004, whenever we moved in here, put it up for sale. I think it was sold it for $5 million. I remember the pastor of the church that wanted to buy it was like, come on, we can make a deal right now on the phone. I'm like, yeah, we'll make a deal. He's like, come on, you know, like do a break for the church. I said, my church needs a break. I need a break. I deserve a break today. I said, that'll be $5.1 million. Well, can we negotiate more, better? No, we can't. 5.1, please. Sure enough, they signed the deal, wired the money. We moved in here, which FH Passion also built. And we had a fun time doing it, I gotta say. It was really fun. I remember when we were trying to move in by a certain date, we had to build the parking lot, and the parking lot contractor was like, I can't put this concrete before the parking lot. He had to pour all this concrete. He said, it's raining for the next 3 days. It was sunny. They started, and then they left. I came to the church, and my concrete guys were gone. I called my concrete guy. I said, hey, where'd you go? He said, it started to rain. My guys don't work in the rain, and it won't work in the rain. Concrete doesn't work in the rain. So we're taking the rest of the week off, or however long it takes to, you know, to dry out. I said, I'll make you a deal. If it stops raining by 10 a.m., I want all your guys back here and pouring concrete. He said, you got a deal. So I prayed, God, if Elijah could do this, if Elijah could do it and stop the rain, we can. How many know that what one person can do, another person can do? How many know that God is no respecter of person? How many know that if God made a promise to Abraham, he made a promise to you? If God can do it in Elijah's life, he can do it in your life. If God can do it in my life, he can do it in yours. If he can do it in yours, he can do it in mine. If he did it in Noah's life, in Abraham's life, in Isaac's life, in Jacob's life, David's life, in Peter's life, in Paul's life, in all these people's lives, if he can do it in their lives, he can do it in you. God's a builder, and so are we. We're builders. It stopped raining. Right when we prayed, it stopped raining. I said, there's your rain stoppage. Get your boys back in here. And they came and did it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, you are living stones being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Listen to me for a minute. Adam and Eve were called to build a civilization. Noah was called to build an ark. Abraham was called to build a nation. Isaac was called to build an altar. Jacob was called to build an altar. Moses was called to build a tabernacle. Joshua was called to build an altar. Gideon was called to build an altar. David was called to build broken men into leaders and an altar. Solomon was called to build the tabernacle of God, the temple of God. Why is this such a common thread in the Bible? Because we are all called to be builders. Because we are made in the image of God. But the best of it, we haven't even got to. I want to share something with you, but I want you to still understand why all these people were called by God to build something, because all of it was a picture of what God did in the first creation and what God would do in the new creation, the second creation. When God created Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 says something very powerful. It says, the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. This is a picture. Obviously, the first Adam was Adam. The second Adam is Jesus. Jesus is the second Adam, the perfect Adam. Adam was not God. He was made in the image of God, but Jesus was both man and God. But when the Lord caused Adam to have a deep sleep, that is a picture of Jesus dying on the cross and being put in a tomb for a deep sleep. Even Jesus himself said, when people asked, what about that little girl? She's dead, right? He said, no, she's only sleeping. And they laughed at him. He basically said, she's just in a deep sleep. Because he was referring to Adam being put in a deep sleep. He was referring to what was gonna happen to him. He was gonna go into a deep sleep. But guess what happened when he went into this deep sleep? It says that, and when he slept, God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in that place. And verse 22 says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her to the man. Now, when he says in verse 22 that God made a woman, that word made is literally translated as built. When God opened up Adam's side, he took a rib and made that rib a woman, built a woman from that rib. Who is that woman? Because I know people associate this with Marriage. Listen, being married is not the definition of being complete. Being in Christ is the definition of being complete. No, there's nothing wrong with marriage because it was God's idea, but it wasn't meant to complete you. You will have a bad time in marriage if you go expecting a person to complete you. No one can do that. God would not allow anybody to do that. Even if people thought they could do that, nobody can actually do that except the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of you. This woman named Eve, God built her, and she became the vehicle through which sons and daughters come from and came from. And in fact, the word son or daughter in the Bible is also translated as builder. If you're a son or daughter of God, you are a builder. The word in Hebrew is bana. It means to build. It means to set up, to build, to repair, to build up, to build something. I want you to see this because this is a picture of what would happen to us when Jesus fell asleep in death. He became like Adam, and God took, and it's all in the Bible, John chapter 19, verse 34, but one of the soldiers, when he was already dead, when Jesus was already dead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. What was it that came out? Blood and water. What did that do? That was what God made the bride of Christ out of. That is what God made the church out of. The blood and water that came out of Jesus after he had breathed his last, they decided not to break his legs, which they did with every other person that was crucified. They didn't break his legs. Instead, they put a spear in his side until all the blood and all the water came out. And the Bible says, unless you are born of the Spirit and of water, unless you are born by the blood of Jesus, you cannot be born. And this, when Jesus gets this sword pierced into his side, is when the church was born. It's when the church was built. It's when the church was made. It's when the body of Christ, it's when the bride of Christ was created. What I'm trying to tell you is you and I are that rib from Jesus' side, and he is building his church. And in fact, he said it in Matthew 16. He said, on this rock, you're Peter, you're a little stone, but on this rock, this revelation, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are a part of something that the gates of hell will not prevail against. You are built into the church. Listen, why should you go to church? Because you are the part of that church that it is not fully complete without you. Every born again child of God has been created to be a part of the church, the body of Christ. And we are called to build the church. Not necessarily the building, but like you heard, in Grace's vision, to build God's kingdom through every community with joy and laughter. Yes. And having a good time along the way. It's not meant to be a heavy burden. Amen. But it's meant for you to pick up and be a part and realize that you have been built into something. Therefore, pulling out of that thing because you're offended, which so many Christians have done over the years, is what makes the church weak. Because we're just so touchy, offendable. We got to decide to be unoffendable. You got to be a part of the unoffendables. You want a great superpower? Be unoffendable. That's the greatest superpower that you could have. Because the reason why you don't fulfill and we don't come into the fullness of what God has for us is because somewhere along the line we got offended and gave up and quit, or just pulled our, we just were childish and we just pulled our piece out, our stone out from the church, out from the body of Christ. Listen, Jesus is coming back for a church that is glorious. That church cannot be glorious without your participation, without your presence, without your peace, without your part of what's missing and part of what this world needs is you. To be connected to your church, to be plugged into your church, to be committed to your church. Listen, the Bible says that the new wine is in the cluster of grapes. It's not in one grape, it's in a cluster. Boy, I wish I had time to get into this. Maybe we'll have to talk about this next time. But God is building you into something, and God is building something in you. Say, I'm a builder. You say, what if I don't see it happening? It's happening behind the scenes. God is working on you. He's working on me. He's not finished with us. My takeaway during worship today was, wow, God's not finished with me. He's got something more for me to do. I'm not retiring, I'm refiring. Amen. Who's with me? Come on, we made it this 30 years. Who's ready for the next 30? Woo! Everybody here, we've all been strangers to what God is about to do. But he's going to make us fully acquainted to what he's about to do. Amen. The picture of Adam and Eve is the picture of Jesus and the church. That is who this is a picture of. Everybody's a part of this by the Holy Spirit.
Well, thank you again so much for joining me today on the podcast. I'm praying that God is using this message to speak to you today. And I want to encourage you right now, if Life Changers is one of the platforms from which you're growing spiritually and you feel blessed and empowered by the content here, I want to ask you to go to lifechangerschurch.com/give and become one of the givers, one of the people that is changing lives with me around the world. Become a greater part of what God is doing. Become a part of something bigger than just you or bigger than just me, what God is doing around the world through this ministry. You can give a one-time gift or become a recurring giver. Remember, the church is not a place, it's a people. Let's work together as the church to bring more people into the family of God. Go to lifechangerschurch.com/give to give, or click the link in the description. And thank you in advance. And remember, God's not mad at you. He is mad about you. He's in love with you, and he is on your side. God bless.